Aloha. You are listening to Art Speak Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And we are in our brand new 90-minute format, and I couldn't do it without the lovely Maria Vasquez Boyd.
Oh, my goodness. I love you. Aloha.
Of
Aloha
course.
From Kansas City.
And excellent. Go Royals.
Well, you know what? Tonight we have a terrific program for our listeners on Art Speak Radio. We have a couple of folks here from My Arts, which is a program, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it in Kansas City. I want to welcome Deanna Bellamagna. Is her mic on, babe? Hello. Deanna Bellamagna is the My Arts Program Manager, and Adam Goldman, he's the Program Coordinator.
Hello.
So let me tell you a little bit about My Arts. It is a Metropolitan Youth Arts and Technology for Students, the acronym My Arts. It's part of the Jackson County Prosecutor's Arts Initiative through the Anti-Drug Unit of Jackson County, Missouri. My Arts offers a safe learning environment for youth to explore the creative side while having positive effects on their academic achievement and social growth. Now, since 2006, the organization has served at-risk youth from ages 14 through 19 through an all-year after-school program. Participants apply for an unpaid 72-hour apprenticeship working through a curriculum designed to give them the foundations of art. Now, upon completion of the apprenticeship, the youth are eligible to apply for a paid position working in one of the five studios at My Arts. The youth employees work on various projects throughout the year, including artwork for events, gallery shows, and for clients. My Arts conducts jobs for individuals and organizations, such as murals, commissioned artwork, photo shoots, logos, and graphic design, matting and framing, and T-shirt jobs. So you do a lot there at My Arts.
We do.
Yes, we do.
How did that come about? What was the inspiration from that? I know it's built to educate and work with at-risk youth, mm-hmm. but how did that come about?
Well, My Arts acts as a prevention program, so our goal is to reduce crime, of course, mm-hmm. give youth a positive outlet, a place to be after school, a safe environment, mm-hmm. And we do have mentors that work with them, so it's definitely a mentorship as well, helping build their skills, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. As far as where it came from, we researched Artists for Humanity in Boston, mm-hmm. Who has a similar program, and we modeled our program after that. We did extensive research with them, going and visiting with them, and now we both consider ourselves sister programs.
Wow. Great.
And that program's been around a very, very mm-hmm. long time. I want to say 22 plus years.
And I do want to tell our listeners that mm-hmm. you have two locations, My Arts East, which is at 315 North Main Street, Independence, Missouri, and My Arts Downtown at 1522 Holmes Street in Kansas City. Right?
That's correct.
That's
okay.
correct.
So what are some of the obstacles that you encountered let me just ask you this in a different way. How was the program introduced to the city? Did you have any sort of pushback on that, or were people really embracing this whole concept?
Well, let me just preface it by saying that we started in 1999 with a program called Sentence to the Arts for adjudicated youth. So we had already set a precedence mm-hmm. as far as working with our programs through the prosecutor's office. It's part of the Changing Lives Through the Arts initiative through the prosecutor's office. And so we had already set a precedence with the community, I guess.
Okay.
But as far as My Arts, we wanted to have an art entrepreneur program. That was the goal back then, mm-hmm. an art entrepreneur. Entrepreneurial program for youth ages. At that time, it was ages 15 to 19. Mm-hmm. It is 14 to 19 okay. now because we want to get those middle school kids.
Yeah. And that makes sense because
yeah.
you want to get them young and early and involved. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
mm-hmm.
so we started in 2006. And kind of how we went about it, I was having to reflect today to remember. but definitely we hit a heavy, heavy recruitment into the schools. Mm-hmm. And we went around to the schools kind of drumming up youth that would be interested to begin in May of 2006. Mm-hmm. And we started at our downtown location. We didn't have our east location mm-hmm. at that time. Mm-hmm. And we started with five studios. And we worked, the youth came and joined us in May 2006. And as far as obstacles go, really, I would say you know, drumming up the youth, the interest. The
sure.
community came on board pretty fast. And then, of course, locating and identifying those artist mentors to work with the youth.
Mm-hmm. So you've formed several partnerships. Who are some of the partnerships with besides the city and...
Mm-hmm. Jackson County, the Combat Anti-Drug Unit mm-hmm. through the Prosecutor's Office. Another partner would be Arts Tech, who is owner of the building mm-hmm. at the downtown location.
Okay.
So at that time, and still, they act as our landlord and fiscal agent. So the money flows through them to pay the youth that are in the employee section, mm-hmm. and then also just funds and supplies for the youth. Or for the program.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned going to the different schools. What are the schools that are involved? Or is it citywide, or do you have certain boundaries?
Well, it's citywide and uh-huh. countywide.
Uh-huh.
One of the challenging aspects of moving out to Independence in 2012 mm-hmm. was that we tried to cover every school in the county, mm-hmm. and forging those new relationships with principals and schools, and mm-hmm. Even finding different organizations and community leaders in the area, and just settling into the Independence area as well was a challenge, and just kind of discovering new connections in the area.
Yeah. So it's been pretty well embraced then by a lot of communities and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been very well embraced. I mean, mm-hmm. like I said, in 2006 is where we started downtown, and so we were there from 06 to 12. We're still there.
Uh-huh.
But then in 2012, we moved out east, and
yeah.
so we've definitely branched ourselves out, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we've built...
good for the city.
Yes,
yeah.
and we've mm-hmm. built community relationships, local businesses. We had to mm-hmm. familiarize ourselves with Independence.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because none of us live in Independence. Mm-hmm. We're all KC Mo people. So we definitely had to familiarize ourselves with Independence.
Do you feel a part of that sort of renaissance, what was happening in Independence and the city, and the city square there in Independence? Because it sort of went through a series of really boarded up buildings and mm-hmm. sort of hard times. So were you a part of that renaissance that happened?
Well, I think that had already, I want to say that had already taken place when we got there in 2012, uh-huh. but we definitely have jumped on the bandwagon as far as being a part of the square. And I have to tell you, the square has been amazing at welcoming us. We're part of the Independent Square Association, mm-hmm. and they've just been wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, wonderful yeah. as far as getting the word out there, mm-hmm. Allowing us to put in any kind of program information within their businesses and local businesses. So we've really had they've been embracing us
terrific.
Greatly. And even the neighborhoods, the local neighborhoods as well.
And that partnership has allowed us to add some beauty in part to the square. We do events sometimes, like we'll be doing face painting at the lighting ceremony coming up in November. And then also the youth did a job where they painted the plant potters around the square.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been various other opportunities to add some art to the square where they involve my arts.
Mm-hmm. Great. I want to ask you, how is the program structured? Take us from step one, what does a person who's interested in your program, what are the steps that they take to become involved as far as the students are concerned?
As far as the youth are concerned?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
The youth, and I have to say, Adam does a lot of our heavy recruiting right now as far mm-hmm. as through all Jackson County to the schools, and he can speak on that. But the youth, they fill out an application, an apprenticeship application, and that's for the 72-hour unpaid position. And then they turn in their application, and then they're contacted by our lead artist mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And she contacts them and sets up an interview.
Mm-hmm.
And the interview could be either at our downtown location or east location. We find that our downtown, a lot of the urban kids go there, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of the Eastern Jack kids go out east.
And during the interview, do they also have sort of a portfolio review, or do they have certain have recommendations from teachers and that?
Well, they do. Part of the qualification is they have to attend a school in Jackson County, be in high school at the time they enter. We do make exceptions with private school and homeschooling,
mm-hmm.
and they have to have a Jackson County address. But as far as the other qualifications at the time of the interview, they absolutely do bring in a portfolio. That can be formal or informal.
Mm-hmm.
It can
mm-hmm.
be an actual portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
It can be an armful of ceramics
mm-hmm.
or a sketchbook.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to be able to show us what level they are as far as the art medium of their choice. And then at the time, Rachel Iles, who's our lead artist mentor, she determines whether or not they have the foundations of art already down, because that will determine how extensive they go through our curriculum.
Yeah, and it's easy easier perhaps to work with someone where you're not beginning at square one, and maybe just give them a little bit of information and have them come back. Is that a possibility? If they don't sort of make that.
Well, we provide a bit of a multi-tiered structure for that. They do go through project-based learning, and, and they do build up their skills and the foundations of art, even if they're seen to be of, you know, certain level in the foundations. But what they might do is, let's say that they show a lot of skill in drawing and painting, for example. They might go, you know, straight into that studio and begin certain projects in that studio. Or if they're really into pottery and they've shown a certain mastery of pottery, they may be able to enter into that studio more quickly, because the way that it works, if they're more kind of at square one, is they will start out in the visual arts studio as an apprentice, working within that studio space, kind of building up those foundations. So we do allow for a bit of flexibility with that.
With a program, if someone is interested in ceramics, but, oh, they might be interested in photography, is there a sort of crossover or multidiscipline that you offer?
Well, the youth that go through the 72-hour, at around, it depends on the location they're at, but at around 50, 60 hours, they have the opportunity to go into each studio and get a really good feel for what each studio has to offer. And so hopefully by that time that they're ready to enter an employmentship, if they get that, they have a good understanding and have can choose a studio. That being said, if a young person gets into, and we've had this happen several times, a young person gets into visual art, and decides it's not for them, they can definitely talk to their mentor and maybe want to choose ceramics or, you know, switch studios.
So what do you look for in a good candidate? I mean, what are some of the things that you say to yourself, oh, okay, this person's, he'll fit really well in our program. Is there any sort of guidelines or any sort of criteria that you use?
That's a good question.
That's a great question.
When Rachel's interviewing them, because I know I've done a lot of the interviews myself and done them with her, but when we're interviewing them, we're looking at how in the interview how they conduct themselves, how they respond to us, if they have any questions of their own. Definitely looking to see, as far as the foundations of art, how much they have that down. As far as, I will say, for the apprenticeship program, we're really just wanting to give them an opportunity to kind of get into the program and prove themselves and grow with us. But they do have the opportunity towards the end of apprenticeship to enter maybe an employee position, which there we are looking for a certain skill set.
Yes, and number one when they start out as an apprenticeship is that passion for the arts. If they come into that
that's
interview and they say that they're just wanting to hang out with some teens, that's a different scenario. But if they show that they have that passion for the arts, no matter kind of what that skill level of starting out is, then that's the important thing that they're
really
interested.
This is serious stuff, this business of art, right?
Yeah,
it really is. And it is somewhat of a business approach that you take with your students.
Yes, absolutely.
Can you do you have a roster of individuals, of artists that you work with on these programs?
Well, at both locations, there is a mentor inside of each studio.
Okay.
So each studio has a mentor, and that's a hired professional, and they do have a bachelor's degree. And then as far as other artists, because we do other workshops and other programs through MyArts, so yes, we do have a roster of artists that we can pull from that could come in and work with the youth or conduct workshops. Sometimes we do three-day workshops.
And they're local, right?
Yes. They would have to be. Yes, they are local artists.
You know, we're going to just take a real quick break, and we'll be right back with MyArts with Dina Bellamagna and Adam Goldman.
Supporting 90.1 FM, Kansas City Chorale and jazz soloist Patty Austin, both Grammy winners, live at the Folly Theater, Wednesday, October 15th at 7 p.m. Charles Bruffy, Patty Austin, and the singers of the Kansas City Chorale performing new arrangements together, featuring pop, jazz, R&B, and a hand-clapping gospel medley. That's Wednesday, October 15th at the Folly. For tickets at Central Ticket Office, 816-235-6222 or follytheater.org.
This week on American Roots, El Sabor Latino in American music. From the West Coast, it's Mexican-American rockers Los Lobos. To the East Coast, salsa of Oscar Hernandez and the Spanish Harlem Orchestra. Plus a performance by San Antonio's queen of conjunto accordion, Eva Ibarra. I'm Nick Spitzer. Join me for American Roots from PRX.
Starting at its new time, Wednesday evening at 7:30.
And we're back. You're listening to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, your host, along with my beautiful friend, Blair Schulman. Hello, Blair. And our guest tonight, our program manager of My Arts, Dina Bellamagana, and Adam Goldberg, the program coordinator. And he told me his name was Goldman, so I don't know what's going on with that. I'm just playing with you, Adam Goldberg. And, Blair, you have an announcement.
Yes, the Kansas City Royals are going to the World Series with the final score of 2-1. Very exciting.
You know, when you told me that, it just gave me chills. Look, I still have chills.
Yes.
It's been a long time coming.
Indeed.
So we're talking to Dina Bellamagana and Adam Goldberg from My Arts program. And they have two locations, My Arts East at 315 North Main Street in Independence and My Arts Downtown at 1522 Holmes Street. And you have a website that our listeners can go to and mm-hmm. check out more information?
Yeah, www.myarts.com. MyArtsKC.org. I'm so sorry. MyArtsKC.org.
Mm-hmm. And before the break, we were talking about a number of mentors that you employ for this program, and they're local, and they're very multidisciplined from ceramics and what other sort of disciplines?
Well, the five studios we have are the ceramics, screen printing, darkroom photography, visual arts, and
graphic design.
But as far as the other workshops that we do, other programs, I mean, we have artists ranging from, you know, we have African drumming, African dance.
Wow.
Jewelry making.
Yeah.
Comic book art.
Drama theater.
Mm-hmm. theater, right.
Mm-hmm. All kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With the two separate locations, do you do some things at this location and maybe not at the other? How does that work?
The downtown location has visual arts, graphic design, and ceramics. When we started in 2006, it had all five studios. Mm-hmm. But when we moved, we kind of downsized those studios. Our east location has ceramics, visual arts, screen printing, darkroom photography, and graphic design.
So can your students, if they want to do something in ceramics, a particular project, can they cross the buildings and maybe...
Well,
we do
have... We pretty much keep them where at those certain locations.
They're
where
usually
they begin.
Within their studios, but that being said, mm-hmm. we do from time to time conduct workshops mm-hmm. that they can mm-hmm. then cross over, mm-hmm. such as Natalie in the screen mm-hmm. printing will do a screen printing workshop and the youth can all attend that mm-hmm. workshop. Or in ceramics. Mm-hmm. We don't cross over on a normal basis, but definitely we have workshops where they can... work through those as far as, especially with screen printing, because mm-hmm. sometimes we're looking, we have our own t-shirt line mm-hmm. that we do, so there are a couple times throughout the year that we will conduct a screen printing workshop where they're coming up with new designs.
Mm-hmm.
So youth from other studios can be a part of that.
So is that That's available right. to the public, the screen shirts then? Or is it?
Yes.
We sell all the artwork that's created mm-hmm. through MyArts. Mm-hmm. We do sell that through our online store and then through the actual program locations. Mm-hmm. We have stores out of those mm-hmm. locations. And the proceeds just go right back in the program and help with supplies. So, mm-hmm. yes, our T-shirts mm-hmm. are for sale. They go down to infant size and up to men and women.
I've seen the little onesies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're adorable.
So now if the public wants to maybe shop at the gallery sites, what are the hours?
Well, for Eastern Independence, mm-hmm. for Independence, our gallery is open Tuesday through Friday, and that the hours are 9 to 6 p.m., and on Friday, 9 to 3 p.m.
You mentioned you do. You also offer theater in that. I was looking at the information online, and you also have an open mic night. You want to talk about that?
Yes. So our open mic night started last year, and we do it every month. It's on the fourth Friday of the month.
So is this at both locations?
This is at our eastern location.
Okay.
What we do is our location in East actually used to be an auto body shop. So we've called
the
open mic night.
Yeah, floor,
we called the open mic night the showroom, actually.
Ah,
you know, to pay homage to the fact that it was an auto body shop. So what we do is we bring in on that fourth Friday, we bring in the public. Anybody can join us, all ages and all talents can come on the microphone and perform. We've had everything from magicians to poets, musicians, bands. We even have some improv coming up and some actors doing work on the microphone. And it can be anything from a professional band trying to promote their newest album to a teenager at a high school who maybe it's their first time performing ever. And the open mic night is just fun. People get to eat good refreshments and play games and do art activities, and it's also a very judgment-free, safe zone for anybody to perform.
So on that open mic night, you don't necessarily have to be a member of My Arts. It's open to the public?
Yeah, it's pretty much an open house. We open our doors, and anyone from the public can come join us and enjoy themselves.
I see. So you have what I'm looking at here. In 2014, the organization added weekly comic book creation and teenage drama workshops for middle school and high school students. How's that going?
It's going well.
Very successful?
Well, so far we're in our second eight-week workshop. That is a program that is funded through the City of Independence grant that we received. Mm-hmm. That's how we were able to do that. But yes, it's for middle school youth comic book, and then high school we offer comic book and theater drama. It is going well. The middle school, I will say, for the comic book has really taken off.
I can imagine.
They love their manga and anime.
Yeah.
They're really into it. And what we've found, too, is that during this second session, many of the students have come back to take another session, and they're gelling as a group. You know, sometimes they will sit there and kind of trade pages and actually work on art together. And other times they'll just be working on their art and getting art instruction, and at the same time be having wonderful conversations together. Mm-hmm. Part of that workshop is actually an hour-long life skills lesson. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we incorporate the arts into our life skills. And, it's anywhere from journaling about their character that they're drawing to talking about life issues and just kind of exploring what they all have in common and what they all want to share about each other.
It's probably very popular then. I mean, is there a waiting list or any sort of...
Well, the middle school workshops, I think we're at about, are we at 14
we're
now?
We're at 15
We're at 15.
Now.
We had to,
are you at capacity then?
Well,
yeah.
We had to cap it. We were going to cap it at 10 because they're only working with one artist, but we decided to cap it at 15 because we had such a, call for it. So, yes, there is. Now, as far as the high school, what are we at, Adam?
I think six.
Six?
So, there's still room for
there's
growth.
Room.
We have a couple people bring in their friends and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but there is room for growth with those, and we have a really talented comic book artist working with them, and they seem to be enjoying themselves.
Well, based on its popularity and of course what it offers the community, is it the possibility of having a third location, or is that a consideration, or are you just going to try and focus on these two?
We haven't had that conversation about a third location, but I think now we're just trying to build to build the programs where they are, and especially with the one out east. We kind of see ourselves as a community center. Mm-hmm. That's why we're offering workshops and weekend workshops to adult and kids now as well.
Okay.
So we're trying to just build that. And
So with adult workshops, that information is on your website?
Yes.
Okay. And with, again, with the popularity, you have an open house. Do you have them a couple of times a year, or is it just...
We consider our open mic night the once a month, our open house. Okay. Also, we have a gallery show, a youth gallery show, the first Friday of December. We kind of consider that an open house. That's usually at our downtown location.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And the theme for this year is myths and legends.
Yeah.
And they're creating everything from things having to do with tree ants and wizards and things like that, all the way to story creation stories and different myths from around the world. It's really amazing to see them study myths and legends.
Are they finding in your program? Are they finding that there's so much crossover within the disciplines? You know, writing goes hand in hand with maybe drawing and journaling, and maybe that translates into ceramics. Are you finding that's happening with your students in the program?
That happens inside the studios, but it also happens with various projects we've done. We just did a recent project that came to mind for the Victim Advocate Week through the prosecutor's office, and that exact thing happened. We did a 3-day writing workshop first to get us started on the project, and so they were able to journal and come up with their various ideas about victim, like where we have been, where we are now. And then we were able to incorporate that into photography, ceramics, and so the final piece was beautiful.
Yeah.
And so it was a combination of all the studios, including creative writing.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're not just you're with the two locations. You're actually out in the community as well. For instance, I saw a group at the Westport Art Festival recently, right?
Yes, we are in charge of the Westport Art Festival, puts us in charge of the kids' tent every year, and in return, they give us an art tent, an art booth.
Okay.
So we're right beside each other. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we've been there every year. I think, I want to say this was our fourth year. So that's very successful. It's a good way for us to get the information out there. The youth come and work in the kids' tent, do face painting and various art projects with the kids that attend the festival.
Are there other festivals that you participate in at this time?
Well, we are going to be at the Quick Paint what would you call it? Art contest?
Quick Paint Art Contest
is in Independence on the Square, and it's going to be next Thursday, the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, everybody from the community can get together and paint and draw the Truman Courthouse. And it is a contest. There, My Arts is going to be present there, and we're going to incorporate a lot of our artists into that event.
So how is that going to work? I mean, do they all have the same sort of formatted paper or materials? Or
well, part of the contest is through the county, but what they're doing is they're wanting the participants to paint a perspective of the Truman Courthouse, because it was newly renovated.
Yes. Yeah.
And so paint a perspective of it. It can be however they want, abstract, realistic. And so they've asked us to have some of our youth participate. Mm-hmm. And so what we're going to do with our youth, because that's during program hours, we are going to provide them with easel materials such as paints and paper, and then we're going to walk down to the square, two blocks, and they'll set up, and then they'll paint for, I want to say it's an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then the adults, there's an adult one as well. So, and then there's prizes for both. There's a youth prize and an adult prize.
You know, and that's very exciting, because it is in the neighborhood. I mean, the Truman home is, like you said, a few blocks away. So is it possible that some of these kids have never been to the Truman home? And
well, it is. It is possible. I'm not sure about the Truman home, but I do know the Truman Courthouse.
Or the courthouse. Yeah.
No, that's okay. I do know the Truman Courthouse. We actually were asked to paint the time capsule. I don't know if you know about that. That went in there.
And tell us about it. Yeah.
Has been closed. So they asked us to paint the time capsule. So we had five young ladies work on that. They came up with a design and representing Independence, representing Truman himself. And so, but before we started on that, we actually took the young ladies and we went to the courthouse and took a tour. Mm-hmm. And none of them, mm-hmm. including myself, mm-hmm. had been there. Mm-hmm. So that was amazing. Yeah. So they took us on that little tour that they do.
Yeah, and the only story that I can add to that at the Truman, at the courthouse, mm-hmm. was, well, almost 30 years ago, my husband and I were married there at the courthouse. And that's my only claim to fame.
That's wonderful.
But, you know, they did so much renovations on that, mm-hmm. and it's not currently used as a working courthouse, or is it? Do you know?
I don't think it's used as a courthouse, but they do use the, don't they use
the offices?
They
use the offices, there's meeting spaces, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. Yeah, it is still in use in that way.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back with Deanna Bellamagana and Adam Goldberg of My Arts. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, je salue les mains dans les poches, le cœur dans la gorge. Une semaine m'a semblé un an. Il s'assit tout à côté de moi, ma peau commence à brûler et je cache mes joues rouges. Ses yeux s'allument, je fais la fière devant tous ses copains. Mes lèvres tremblent au souvenir d'une nuit blanche dans ses bras, d'une nuit blanche dans ses bras. Il fait de moi un corps. Je me perds dans son sourire. La chambre commence à se vider, je suis paralysée, je ne le regarde pas. Il me met la main sur la joue, mon visage est tout chaud et ma bouche est excitée. Ses yeux s'allument, je fonds en dents, je me sens si chanceuse. Mes lèvres tremblent au souvenir d'une nuit blanche dans ses bras, d'une nuit blanche dans ses bras.
Back. We're listening to Art Speak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Back to you, Maria.
Great. Thank you, honey. I am Maria Vasquez-Boyd. We're talking with Dina Bellamagana and Adam Goldberg of My Arts. They have two locations. One is east, one is downtown. And your website again is
www.myartskc.org.
Myartskc.org. So we were talking about some of the things that your the program is based on, and you have some upcoming events that you want to talk about too, right?
Well, that's right. Well, we mentioned the showroom, and we actually have a showroom every fourth Friday. The next one is going to be next Friday, the 24th, and then. Yes.
And I don't mean to interrupt, but when you say that the showroom, our listeners want to be clear that that is in Independence, Missouri, the 315 North Main Street. When he talks about the showroom, that's the location, the My Arts in Independence.
That's correct. And we also will be having art workshops the following day. That's Saturday the 25th. We'll be featuring a digital photography workshop, and that's for adults. Mm-hmm. And the youth workshop for kids is for the Day of the Dead Masks.
Ah,
so they'll be making
Dia
de los Muertos masks.
Well, for all of these workshops, adults and for students, people need to sign up early.
It is helpful if they call first or email.
And what would the number be there to call?
Well, the phone number would be 816-254-4790.
Okay.
And then the email would be info@myartskc.org.
And we'll get that information again at the end of the hour. But, you know, it's got to be probably first come, first serve. I mean, in terms of...
Yeah, yes. We don't send anyone away.
Yeah.
So
right.
Even if they just show up and haven't contacted first, that's fine. And as far as the youth workshop, it's five and up, but
yeah.
We'll accept any age
yeah.
in the youth workshop.
Yeah,
we
absolutely.
Have 16, 17-year-olds that come in, along with a little 5-year-old or 7-year-old. So we don't, yeah.
So again, the dates of both of the workshops?
Sure. So the workshops in October are on October 25th, and that's digital photography for adults and Day of the Dead masks mm-hmm. for youth. And then we'll have workshops going on November 15th as well. And that'll be on the same day and the same afternoon as the Independence lighting ceremony. And we'll be doing face painting at that.
Yeah.
And that's 4 to 6 on the Independence Square.
Now, I'm very excited when you said Day of the Dead, Día de los Muertos, mm-hmm. which is, you know, a Mexican celebration of the dead when they come back just once a year to celebrate with their family and friends, the people that have passed. You know, is this something a first for this location? Have you celebrated it before in terms of the workshops that you're bringing?
Well, we have done Day of the Dead as far as different... What I'm trying to say. It
kind
started actually. Yeah, themes.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
so we had done different themes throughout the studios, within the studios. We started mm-hmm. that at our downtown location.
Mm-hmm.
So we have actually been celebrating that since we started. And so we do that with the youth, whether or not it be mm-hmm. through the studio or through an actual workshop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I know it's gotten big over the years here in the city with Maddie Rhodes art gallery, and most recently the Nelson Atkins Museum. They've mm-hmm. I think this would be the fourth year that they have their family festival, and so excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yes.
Very good. So will they be making masks for
They'll
this?
Be making masks.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
And you have open mic again, and that's the third?
That is going to be the fourth Friday. So that's next Friday on the 24th.
Okay.
And then in November, we'll have a really exciting open mic night on the 21st of November, and that's going to feature some improv acts from our teenage drama workshop, and it'll also feature a magic performance from our featured magician.
I love improv. I think that's awesome.
Yes. Well, and especially at that age. I mean, generally when you are at that point, you're in college and,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe there's a little bit of hesitation
involved with that. Yeah, I mean, some of the other artistic disciplines, there's kind of limitations on what you can do, but mm-hmm. the whole thing, I studied improv a long time ago, and one of the things that you learn is that you don't deny your partner, so you just keep going and going and going, and every answer is the right answer, so it's a ton of fun, especially if the kids can really bring down the walls.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's right.
Yes, they can.
And it really brings them together. We can tell just from them giving each other feedback and riffing off of each other,
exactly.
just like you're talking about, there's that mode of acceptance that they mm-hmm. that they really mm-hmm. get into, and as a group, that drama workshop mm-hmm. gels really well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So with the drama workshop, again, you're working with mentors here in the city.
Mm-hmm. A local artist.
How do you find your mentors?
Well,
do they come to you?
Well, some of them do, but we have, like I mentioned earlier, we've had the Send Us to the Arts program, which has mm-hmm. been going since 1999. So over the years, we have built this very large group of artists that mm-hmm. we can go to constantly, although we do have new artists all the time. We have
mm-hmm.
people popping in my arts,
mm-hmm.
local artists,
mm-hmm.
asking if they can get on the volunteer list.
Mm-hmm.
So it's constantly building.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, we have been working with
pretty
a large
roster.
Group. Yeah,
that's
very
right.
large roster, actually.
And I'd also like to, since we're talking about how we promote and connect with people, we should mention our Facebook page is a great way to connect with us. Our Facebook page is MyArtsKC,
mm-hmm.
And anything from, you know, mentions of new workshops to new events, they get posted. We'll put photos on there, and it's a great way to connect with us.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good way for people to kind of just sort of test you out and see what you're all about.
Absolutely.
So that that would be helpful. Absolutely. And so you've got a lot coming up this fall.
We do.
We do. We'll be busy.
Yeah, and we have our youth show coming up December
5th. Yes, December 5th. And then we should also add that on the 6th, that Saturday, we're going to have a big holiday sale.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the newest pieces that have been made, as well as our older pieces, it's all going to be for sale in our store. Mm-hmm. So that'll be an exciting thing.
Is that going to be at both locations or just one?
The holiday sale?
Pull them together.
The holiday sale is going to be at both locations, but during the week of the U show, on that 5th, it'll be downtown during program hours. On that Saturday, the 6th, we're actually going to do the holiday sale at our East location, and I believe our times are 10 to 1. Mm-hmm. I believe that's what we decided on. Yeah, and we'll also be featuring at that time, we're going to have another adult workshop and youth workshop at the same time.
Are you always developing developing new and more interesting workshops for the community?
We are, and we also welcome anybody to make suggestions. Because we've had people walk in and say, I want to do watercolor, adults. Mm-hmm. I want to do watercolor. I'd like to take an acrylic workshop or ceramics. Mm-hmm. So we're constantly listening to...
Yeah. That's important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's very important. Can you share with our listeners some success stories that you have from maybe past folks that were in your program?
For youth?
Have they come on, gone in on to becoming working artists?
Well, I can attest to two off the top of my head. We have a young man who's our photographer, artist mentor, and he started with us as a youth. And he was with us for a couple years, and then he graduated from high school, went to college, graduated from college in 3 years, moved back home, and he actually applied for the position for the photography mentor, and he's with us right now. And then and that's highly successful, and he talks highly about the program. Mm-hmm. And then we have another young man who virtually did the same thing, and now he is our comic book middle school instructor, and so he went to college and got a graphic design degree. And so those are the two success stories, I think, off the top of my head.
Well, and I'll add to that the fact that we have another young man who's at KCAI currently, and he's an intern with us.
That's right.
And it just goes to show, even numbers-wise, between 2003 and 2006, I believe we had 34 out of 39 high school graduates go on to college. So it just goes to show
that's
many
a very
of them,
high percentage.
These three youth, we've heard people say, I wouldn't be here without my time at MyArts. So they really appreciate the experiences that they've got.
Well, and just watching the youth, I have seen a growth. I mean, I can think of a few off the top of my head, now that are still with us, have seen an amazing growth, not just with their art, but as people, as young people
imagine,
grow
yeah.
from. I mean, I think of one young man right now we still have in our program several years ago when he first came to us. When I would talk to him, he would basically grunt at me. So I just kept it up, kept talking to him, engaging him. And now over the several years, he is amazing now. I mean, he is very communicative. He's doing great in school. He's amazing in the studio. I've just seen an amazing growth in him as
a transformation.
Person. A transformation, yes.
Well, it's not just about the arts. It's your individual growth, your development,
Well, I think that's where the
mentorship
comes in.
And it's also a lot about socialization, too. I think a lot of these kids don't have a lot of opportunities outside of school, or the schools don't offer as much these days a lot of the creative arts and an opportunity to really be free from testing and all that pressure to fit in. I think when you get into an arts environment, you can really let yourself go and just kind of be a freak, and it's nice.
Yes.
Well, and you have that adult interaction, too, that's different than, a school setting and,
absolutely.
Or your parents.
Having an adult mentor is very different than communicating with your teacher. You can really speak kind of openly. And do you find that they're really exposing a lot about themselves when they're working with their art?
They do. We see a lot of exposure through what they're drawing. Also, we have life skills kind of component built in. And Adam works with them on that so that he can speak for them.
Yeah,
sure.
Can talk about that.
Well, that's right. I mean, the art really is a way to communicate and for them to open up.
Sure.
And it's amazing to see them take their art and find this voice. You know, they find a voice to communicate how they're feeling. But then on top top of that, they're learning, you know, more standard or hard fast life skills. Everything from career skills, like learning technology, learning how to set goals and how to time manage so that they can kind of accomplish that
really
end goal.
Stuff,
we're talking big projects that may take days or weeks, and that's a big deal for someone who's growing up through that. And you know, professionalism, learning professional dress and professional communication. And then on top of that, there's the kind of team building and team work that is needed.
Absolutely.
Conflict management, you know, learning how to communicate effectively between multiple people and people who are very different from each other. Yeah.
Real world stuff. Yeah.
Well, and we also do jobs for individuals and organizations, such as business branding through the graphic design studio, t-shirt jobs, murals, all kinds of different jobs. And so the youth get to have that experience working with clients and through us.
So they get actual real world experience that they can start to put down on their resumes when they go out into the world. And when they, I mean, these are young people, and at some point they're going to go out and start looking for jobs.
Absolutely.
As teenagers, and they can say, "Well, I've already done this," and which is very nice to have that kind of apprenticeship under their belt.
It's amazing. It's rare. And when we come back, we're going to take a real quick break. I have a question for you, and that is, do you also help them with a portfolio? So we'll be right back.
The head Apollo is about to return. Saint Sophia is going to be born again. The Buddha is in the park. Siddhartha sleeps, but is going to awaken. The time you have waited for has come.
Wednesday, late night at 11:30.
As state and local governments outsource important public functions to for-profit companies, what happens to workers in their communities? This week on the Heartland Labor Forum, we'll find out from In the Public Interest about how outsourcing public services rewards corporations and punishes the middle class. Then we'll talk to Robert Patrick of AFSCME Local 500 and Councilman John Sharp about how they stopped the mayor's attempt to privatize ambulance billing jobs. Heartland Labor Forum, Thursday at 6 p.m., rebroadcast Friday, 5 a.m.
And we're back. Maria, take it away.
You're listening to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and our guests tonight are Dina Bella Magana and Adam Goldberg of My Arts, the East location and the downtown location. And we were talking about the skills that your participants, that your students develop, not only just the arts and the creativity, but other, you know, skills that you need for the real world. I wanted to ask you, as part of this education or this mentorship, do you also help them prepare a portfolio for future to attend college or?
Yes, we tell all the youth that we'll do whatever they need to build that portfolio if they're wanting to go into art and higher education. We will go as far as to print images for them, put it on a jump drive, put it on a CD, whatever they need. Mm-hmm. We've also helped them with various application process, which Adam can speak about.
Yeah.
Yes, well, what we do is we help them with their portfolio, but we also help kind of supplement the college counseling that high schools tend to provide.
Yeah.
They can come to us after school and work on anything from a college application to those first steps of just looking around and deciding between college, art school, starting at community college. And we really encourage them to goal set and to plan out each stage. I help them out with scholarship and financial aid finding. And then we also, you know, look into just other things like what are each of the steps that they need to take to send in their application.
Terrific. Wow. It's a one-stop, you know, education. I mean, it really is.
Yeah, we worked with that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we mentioned that you have the East location in Independence and the downtown location, but they're still working the same in terms of your goals, right?
Yes.
That's right.
They're not separate.
No, we look at it as one umbrella.
Yeah. Again, myartskc.org.
Yes. www.myartskc.org.
So if our listeners want to take a look at that website, that would be helpful, or the Facebook page. Right?
Either one.
Okay. And let's give some contact information, too.
Sure.
Phone numbers for
Okay. Phone number would be 816-254-4790. That is our east location, mm-hmm. but that's where Adam and I's offices are out of.
That's correct.
And then the email for more information would be info@myartskc.org.
Right. Now, do you track well, obviously you track the success on the students that you spoke of, but do you have a sort of a tracking system in place to sort of qualify or validate the work with the grants and the city that you work with? Is it
good question?
That's sort of an odd question.
No, good question. Well, one of the things that's just real mm-hmm. is we keep track of how many of our youth are going into college mm-hmm. or going mm-hmm. on to a higher education mm-hmm. Option, and we really try to push for that and keep track of how many. What else? We do track just how they're doing, and we try to keep track of mm-hmm. that as far as how they're doing in life, if they need any help with anything.
We have various assessments that we do mm-hmm. throughout the year with youth, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. so we keep track of anything they're concerned about or anything they're working on. So we do keep track of that.
And we keep track of what kind of help we've provided them. Mm-hmm. Everything from mm-hmm. transportation help mm-hmm. if they need a bus pass to mm-hmm. Help finding a food pantry, things like mm-hmm. that. We write down and we keep track of, mm-hmm. and we have an online database to keep track of all okay. of that.
So with some of the students that have been in the program in the past, do they ever call you and say, "Hey, you know what? This really changed my life." I mean, do you get those sort of testimonials?
Yeah, we do. I've gotten text messages. I've gotten mm-hmm. a phone call. We've had youth just pop in and say, "I remember me."
Yeah.
Right. And so
you're both smiling. I like this.
I know. Well, we love it.
That's one of the best parts of our job.
It is.
That's
right. We had a young man, Tyler, who popped in and just wanted to talk with us.
And a young lady brought us cookies
a
couple
of
weeks ago.
Cookies.
That was great.
Well, that's a perk of a job.
Yeah, sweet moment. Yeah.
Yeah, she just went on to college, and she wanted to come in and say hi to us, and then she asked if we wanted a cookie. Yes.
So, again, let's tell our listeners some of the programs that you offer to the students, and you also have adult workshops,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's right.
Yeah, we have adult workshops. They range from wheel throwing ceramics mm-hmm. to hand building ceramics, digital photography. That's what we have.
Painting.
I know we're getting ready to have watercolor.
Jewelry making.
That's right.
Yeah, so various workshop. And like I said earlier, we are always listening to everyone. Mm-hmm. So if mm-hmm. anyone has a suggestion, please throw it our way that we haven't thought of, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Between the two of you, and well, I should just, I'll put it this way. Is there anything that you feel is lacking in the program that you'd like to see? You know, maybe, something more with computers or maybe something with...
I was going to ask you, I know you're talking a lot about a lot of traditional disciplines. Do you have mm-hmm. more advanced technologies in the MyArts program as well? Going beyond painting and ceramics and things like that, is there more computer generated works and things like that that you?
Well, we
offer?
Have Graphic Design Studio, okay. and that is both PC and Mac formatting, okay. and we have a photography artist mentor who works in that studio, and he's kind of new to us actually, mm-hmm. but he's pretty amazing.
And that really is cutting edge. I mean, they do work with vectors in Illustrator. Mm-hmm. They do layering in Photoshop. Mm-hmm. And he's okay with them doing everything on the computer or incorporating their drawings and different things mediums into those computers.
He actually encourages them to incorporate their drawings and paintings into the computer. But we also right now we're creating a website for an organization, so the youth are being able to put that together. So that's great. We just created a logo for that same organization and getting ready to do their business cards as well. Mm-hmm. But as far as anything that we're missing or like to see, the one thing that popped in my head when you said that was I would love to see an expansion of the of drama. It doesn't necessarily have to just be theater. It can be improv. It can be. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see an expansion of that and kind of digging deeper in that.
Yeah.
Performance arts, basically.
Yeah. We've seen a lot of interest in our artists. Like you said, it crosses over great interest in creative writing. And
that too.
You know, the drama, even the drama workshop, you know, they're getting into writing their own monologues right now, and they just really get excited about the writing process.
Yeah, you know, because when we're talking about my arts, I kind of thought about the theater and, you know, plays and performances. I mean, is that something that...
We have talked about doing that. We've talked about doing. We have a beautiful. The side of our building has a beautiful lawn setting, and so I know we did the Battle of the Bands this last summer, and we did it outside on the lawn, and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. So we have toyed with that, talked about that as far as having performances or maybe going into plays, even bands, local bands being able to come, you know, garage bands, if you will, which is one of the reasons for open mic.
Sure,
they were able to have that venue. But yeah, we have talked about that, and maybe that would come to fruition in the future.
Do you see a lot of bonding especially with the younger people? I mean, do they come into this program knowing one another, or are they all kind of strangers?
They usually know not a single person, and it's amazing to see that growth. You know.
And sometimes they don't usually know people, but sometimes they know. Oh, he goes to my school.
Yeah.
Or she goes to my school, all of a sudden. They then have built a relationship, a friendship. Mm-hmm. And so we do see a lot of that bonding, which is pretty amazing.
Right.
Some of them do come in together, but not a lot.
Well, and what will happen, too, is they will all sit around a circular, you know, kind of an area, a table, and be working on art projects. And we'll see them just kind of peek over at somebody who might go to a school across the county from them.
I'm
just,
glad
you
said that. Are there a lot of circular tables as opposed to square workspaces? Because I think there's a different kind of community when you're working around a circular table.
The round table.
Like the three of you right now are sitting around a circular table, and there's a different sort of bonding together than when you're at a square table.
Well, we have rectangular tables for the most part. What we do with the rectangular tables is they seem to always get pushed together so that there can be a lot of that kind of creating spaces where people can get together.
People are creating their little communities when they are working together, if they're working on their own or together on projects.
They are, and I will say that, and we all try to do this, but our lead artist mentor is pretty good at making sure that all the youth feel connected. So if we see that someone not necessarily being left out on purpose, but is kind of off on their own, we'll work hard at trying to pull that together and engage them.
That's right.
Well, art is the great unifier. Mm-hmm. You know, it brings people together. Even if you're speaking separate languages, different languages, you know, there's the language of creation and you know, putting something together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, collaboration too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's a lot of fun. And even if a kid is working by themselves diligently on a project, you kind of give them their space a little bit. But you also want to bring them into the fold. I'm sure you get a lot of shy kids because, you know,
us
art folk are pretty sensitive.
We are. Yeah, we do get a lot of shy youth. But one thing at my arts that I always like to say, we embrace uniqueness and we embrace your odd side. We love the quirky, so bring it on, you know.
Oh, yeah. And we're all quirky. Right. And so we model that for the youth of just, you know, we accept you for who you are, be who you want to be, you know.
That's pretty wonderful.
What about, I think that's real important to ask, what are the parents of these students, how do they feel about the program? Do they see the same sort of changes in their children as you do, or is it a different sort of relationship?
We don't always, I mean, we welcome parents to come in and talk with us, but, you know, it depends on the style of the parent. I mean, sometimes we do engage in, you know, the parents come in and they talk with us and they want to know what the program's all about. And yes, I have had mothers or fathers say that they've seen a big change or their child is so excited. I can think of one man that talks about his daughter and how excited she is about the comic book high school. So, yes, we do have that. But then, you know, we don't always have engagement with the parents. It just totally depends on them, whether or not they come in.
You know, a lot of times people don't comment to others unless there's something really bad, something, you know, oh, that's awful. But I just wondered about that component of people were saying, hey, you know what? this has really been life-changing for, you know, my kids.
Well, we have had feedback, and I've even had emails out of the blue.
Yeah.
Send an email and say how amazing the program is and how much their young person has grown through their eyes. So that's
one of the beautiful things about the open mic night and the community center aspect of My Arts is we find with these open mics and the youth show and the Battle of the Bands, these kinds of open houses bring the parents and bring the family siblings. It brings people together at My Arts. And then we also get kind of that on the spot, comments and thanks from the families.
Mm-hmm. Again, I want to remind our listeners the next event that's coming up
we have an event coming up in 1 week, the showroom open mic night at 315 North Main Street in Independence, and that's the My Arts East location. Mm-hmm. And that open mic night is open to the public, and anybody, all ages and all talents, can perform at it.
Mm-hmm. Terrific. Do you have any last words before we wind up here?
Come see us.
Yeah.
So I want to thank Dina Bella Magana and Adam Goldberg, if that indeed is your true name.
I believe it is.
Adam Goldberg, thank you so much for My Arts program. We have the East location, the downtown location. Website is myartskc.org. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
And I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Let's have a little ID and then some music.
I just did the ID, but that's okay. We can have another ID.
We have a different ID that we have to play. Trust me, I got the button right here.
Okay, very good.
This is Doug Talley, and you have the pleasure of listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Listening to Art Speak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Blair Schulman and lovely Maria Vasquez Boyd is here with me.
Bless your heart, honey. Hey, listen, again, we want to remind our listeners that the Royals won. Yay!
Yay! This is good. And I'm also happy to say that Kansas City is in full swing with all the art stuff. I think October is a really super busy month, and there's a lot
of
stuff
going
on. I'd like to talk about them.
Well, and you know what? Because we have this expanded time, we have a total of 90 minutes now, we can actually sit down and bring you a calendar of events and arts and literary and visual arts.
There is a lot of stuff going on. And yes, because it's October, it's Halloween coming up. And I have to mention my friend artist Mark Allen's Ghoulie Gala, featuring art, live music, and more. And that's going to be Friday, October 31st at an arts event space at 1522 Holmes. The doors open at sunset. And for more information on that, you can visit the website markallenconcepts.com. And the lovely Jessica Borowski, she's got a lot of things going on. The first is she's curating the Creative Placemaking Project with a foundation, Arts in the Loop, and they have a performance downtown tomorrow, Thursday, from 11 to 1 p.m. That's at the Downtown Street Art Placemaking Project, and more info on that is downtownkc.org. And also, Jessica is conducting her final workshop on performance art for teens at the Johnson County Library from 2 to 4 p.m. this Saturday, October 18th. They're going to learn about performing in public spaces and video documentation. The performance art workshops are at the Central Library for Johnson County Library, and they're located at 9875 West 87th Street in Overland Park, Kansas. And their website is jocolibrary.org. Also, the great Khalil Irving, he's in a group exhibition that's going on right now called Four Assorted Chocolates, and that's running through November 8th at the Carter Art Center Gallery at Metropolitan Community College at Penn Valley. And it's Khalil, Lon Powell, Henry W. Dixon, and Shane Evans. And Art Center Gallery is at 3201 Southwest Trafficway in Kansas City. And their website is mcckc.edu/PennValley/art. Also, tomorrow evening, Plug Projects, they, part of their programming, they have Frames Per Second, and that's Thursday night on the 16th at 7 p.m. This time, the work responds to the hashtag awkward theme and highlights a new video by the Minister of Information who has been on the show
before. Yeah, he has, yes.
That's called Red Friday PowerPoint, and a world premiere of a collaborative work between Josh Weisbach, who made a 16-millimeter film, and James Benning, who responds to the film with a digital video. And that piece is called 2843 Colburn Street East, Three Generations. And our friends at Plug Projects, they're located at 1613 Genesee Street, and their web address is plugprojects.com. Also, if you've not visited Leedy Volkas Art Center, artist Travis Pratt has an amazing show up right now called The Joplin Paintings. And that is going on through November 1st. And the Leedy Volkas Art Center is at 2012 Baltimore. Also, tomorrow evening, Hadley Johnson is part of a special viewing of Rituals and Celebrations, Exploring Meaning Through Dress at the Kansas City Museum. And this is featuring local fiber artists and fashion designers. Rituals and Celebrations is in the museum's new community gallery and is a contemporary counterpart to Dressing Up in Kansas City, Rites of Passage, which showcases the museum historic clothing and textile collection. Both exhibitions are on display simultaneously at the Kansas City Museum. They're at 3218 Gladstone Boulevard in the historic Northeast, and their website is kansascitymuseum.org. And also, Dan Froy is at the Trap Gallery, and his show is Love Rust, a celebration of oxidation. And Trap Gallery is going to have their opening Friday, October 17th. They're at 525 Gillis Street in the Columbus Park neighborhood. And also, there's open mic, Our Quest for Beauty of the Everyday, at the Interurban Art House, Poems, Songs, and Comedy. And that's Friday, October 17th at the Interurban Art House. That's at 8001 Concert Street, Suite 290 in Overland Park, Kansas. And Michelle, you have something to add about that, don't you?
Yes, the Beauty of the Everyday exhibit is a collaboration between myself and Sharon Rodriguez, who is a stress meditation trainer and photographer, and that the opening will also feature an episode of Imagination Please, Timothy Pettit and Mary Pettit performing, and the open mic will be part of that.
Well, and this is Michelle Pond. She came on to give us this information of what's happening in some of the art spaces. And you also have one from the Writer's Place that you want to talk about, too, right?
That's correct, Maria.
Yay!
Yes.
I'm right.
At the Writer's Place this Friday, there will be a Slavic Arts Festival and Reading, which is part of the Writer's Place Celebrating Voices series, which highlights the literary and cultural contributions of Kansas City's diverse communities.
So what will take place at this festival? And this is at the Writer's Place?
This is at the Writer's Place.
And that's at 3607 Pennsylvania? Mm-hmm. I believe it is.
I think you're right.
Yeah. And if it's not, you can go to writersplace.org.
Pennsylvania and Valentine.
And Valentine. It's just one street behind the Uptown Theater. But you can also check out their website at writersplace.org.
Yeah. Correct.
What else is going on, Maria?
Well,
we want to talk a bit about the Slavic celebration. So it's going to be reading and what else?
Yes, well, you know, events like this, you try to give people a taste of the culture, both literally and figuratively.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, we'll have refreshments, food, as you can expect, kielbasa and sauerkraut, pierogi, things like that for people to enjoy. Mm-hmm. And then there also will be six readers, four actually from out of town and two local, and both pose and prose and poetry.
Do you have their names? I just
I do.
Yeah. Yay.
We have Karen Crago and Michael Zinizhevsky from Springfield, Missouri, and Benjamin Reed from Austin, Texas, Frank Smirdla from Omaha, Nebraska, and then Susan Peters, who is a member of the Writers' Place Board and was a Peace Corps volunteer, and she'll be reading an essay about time that she spent in Russia. And then I will be reading just a little bit of poetry.
So it's going to be a big event this weekend, Friday, at the Writers' Place. So do you? Is this something that the Writers' Place does on an annual basis? I know they've had some other celebrations. I believe Mary Frances Wagner came in and was talking about the Italian festival and that sort of thing. So is this something that is new to the Writers' Place, celebrating the culture and the writings of different...
Well, this series actually has been going on for several years. It's called the Celebrating Voices series. And the past celebrations have honored Jewish, Native American, Latino, African American, and Italian cultures, as well as the LGBT, LGBT community.
Was there was this a part of the... another series that also looked at the Filipino community, or is this separate? Because I want to say, well, that was
separate.
Actually at the Kent City.
That wasn't at the
Public
Writers'
Library.
Place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, good. Do you have a time for us, for our listeners to?
Yes. We will have music by the Ed Griznick Band, and music and food will start at 6:40.
Is it going to be dancing? Are we all going to dance?
We are hoping that people will get up and dance. And if you want to brush up on lyrics to things like the Beer Barrel Polka, you can also sing.
You know, we might after tonight with the Royals winning.
I know. We haven't actually looked outside yet, but I can imagine a lot of the neighborhoods in Kansas City are going a little bit nuts right now, and deservedly so. This is quite a thing for our city. And it just seems like there's a lot. We've had a lot of good things heaped on our city these days, and you know, a lot of it's just through hard work, and you know, it's pretty wonderful that, like your guests Deanna and Adam were just talking about, all the things that they contribute, and there's all this community building, and it pays off in such wonderful dividends.
Well, you know, I think one of the perks and one of the goals of having this program, of having ArtSpeak Radio, is to educate our listeners. They may not be aware that, you know, there is a Slavic celebration and reading with food, and that, you know, it's Kansas City. You know, we don't always really look at the different communities that make up Kansas City.
Exactly.
And the thing with the My Arts, you know, again, educating our listeners, making them aware, you know, this program exists, and you might find someone that you know, you know, or even in your family that would be, you know,
and
willing to participate.
Exactly. You don't want to sound cynical about these things and say something, and it sounds corny when you say children are the future, but really, it's very, very important that something like My Arts and Many Roads exists, and also Lady Volkis, they have this kind of programming for younger people, because if they don't have other places to turn to, they're going to turn to other things that are negative, and that impacts our community. And it's really important that we take a little time out right now and give a little bit of ourselves and whatever we can offer to help them grow and to be fun and creative individuals. That's what makes living here so fun.
You know, Blair, on your calendar of events, you mentioned Love Rust. Well, and do you know our dear friend Ann Reckling every year is a part of that? Ann Reckling.
I have not heard from Ann in quite some time. Is she still here in Kansas?
I believe so.
Well, that's great. Yeah. Well, Love Rust is at the Trap Gallery there at 525 Gillis Street in the lovely Columbus Park neighborhood. And it's always, you, when you think of Rust, well, I think for those who are not familiar, when you think of Rust, it's like these old dilapidated objects, yeah. But it really isn't. And especially someone like Anne and Dan who take these objects and turn them into super, super beautiful creative objects, and you're sitting around and you think, holy smoke, I did not realize this was something that, you know, someone else might consider a throwaway idea.
You know, and every time I see Rust, I think of Anne.
I know, but I stopped thinking of the Neil Young song all the time also. Now I start to think of Dan even more, which is quite a thing. So, yeah, and there's a lot of stuff, like when I'm mentioning Hadley Johnson, who's a designer here in Kansas City, and she trained as an artist, and she studied at Parsons Paris, and she has a business in the Crossroads, and that she's part of something so monumentous at the Kansas City Museum, which is such a beautiful structure. I've only been
there.
The
Kansas City Museum?
Yes, right in the northeast at 218 Gladstone. She's going to have her famous parachute dress that she's worked on for quite some time, so I'm really excited. I'm going to be there myself. I'm pretty excited to see that. You don't think often as Kansas City as being kind of a fashion town. However, I think there are people like Hadley and the 18th Street Fashion Show that happens every year, which is in the Crossroads, that turns people's minds and their heads about what's going on here. I've been living in this city for close to 10 years, and when I first got here, it was, you know, jazz and barbecue, which is still pretty darn wonderful.
So, yeah.
However, it has evolved into a lot of wonderful, diverse things, and we are now destination cities. We are a destination city, which is pretty terrific.
Well, we've got those great royals, too, so you've got to throw that in.
It took us a long time to get there, and I'm really happy that, you know, we can celebrate that tonight.
Do we have some underwriting that we need to play at this time, babe? Okay, because I do want to mention that as part of the calendar of events, I do want to mention someone who is dear and near to me. That is our own Mark Manning.
Yay, Mark.
Yeah, and the beautiful Philip Hoosier. Tomorrow at the Glenwood Arts Theater, Lisa Ann Evans will be in town.
I haven't seen her in years.
I know. Well, the screening is going to be outright screening and performance. It's for the Kansas Film Festival. If you join the outright screening and performance on the closing night for the Kansas International Film Festival, you'll be able to see other shorts and some local talent. In fact, as a matter of fact, I should say the evening will include Tim DePay film. Philip Hoosier is going to perform an outright. The film is a collaboration between Lisa Marie Evans, our own beautiful friend, Jamie Rich, David Wayne Reed. He was on not too long ago.
Yes.
And again, Mark Manning and Philip Hoosier among the people. So you might, check out the website. I would go to Glen Arts Theater. Actually, I believe it's a fine arts theater.
Is that right?
.com.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I met Lisa Marie Evans when we were a part of Artists Inc. Years ago. And it's really funny how, similarly to myarts.com, everybody becomes interconnected and you start to develop these wonderful relationships that last years and years. I mean, it's how you and I met, Maria, and how we're doing all kinds of exciting things. And Lisa isn't living here anymore. She's, I think, living somewhere in the Southwest. And she did come back here. And there's all kinds of people doing a lot of different things, like David Wayne Reed, who is part of Artists Inc., and Suze Ford Hernandez, and Jane Booth, and Jose Faust, and all these people who are doing so many different things in so many different disciplines throughout the Kansas City community. It really helps to expand our culture, and it's pretty exciting.
Absolutely. How about we take a quick musical break? We'll get a drink of water, and we'll be right back with Art Speak Radio.
I like that idea. Hold on, everybody.
Sur le bonheur, l'air de rien, voilà que tu t'inquiètes. La paix te ferait donc peur. Je la tire. C'est sa vie secrète. Pourtant, les mots font, les mots disent. Les mots coulent, les mots roulent sur un fil. Moi, je laisse ces microbes, ces missiles.
KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Maria.
Hello, I'm Maria Vasquez Boy. Welcome back to ArtSpeak Radio. You know, we were giving a list of events that are happening. In fact, you know, it seems like it's been pretty popular that the third Friday is... they don't want to compete with the first Friday,
well,
so it makes sense to have the third.
Right. Is there something going on the third Friday that you want to bring up?
Yeah, at the Jones Gallery in the Crossroads, Friday, October 17th, there's mm-hmm. going to be a show called A Colorful Drift. And the Jones Gallery is located at 1717 Walnut Street. And again, that's in the Crossroads. So it's going to be a group show, and that opens on Friday. So, yeah. There's a lot of things happening this third Friday, too.
Well, and I think because there's been so much going on across the city that, like you said, nobody wants to compete. And First Friday is so much fun, and it brings out so many people. We want to bring out just as many people on the second, third, and fourth Fridays as well. Michelle,
absolutely.
Do you have something
yeah.
to say?
Well, I was just going to mention that one of the exhibit that that I mentioned, the Beauty of the Everyday, mm-hmm. is part of what's called Local Life Third Friday in downtown Overland Park now.
Now, and that's with Nicole Emanuel, right? Or is it, I mean,
Nicole Emanuel is the executive director uh-huh. of Inner Urban Art House. So, yes, so that the event at Inner Urban Art House is part of the Overland Park Local Life Third Fridays. And you can go to downtownop.org and get a list of all of the Third Friday events. Each third Friday.
Terrific. You have a website for that?
Yes, downtownop.org.
Okay. I just kind of like, woof.
And they also have a Local Life page on Facebook if people
terrific.
Prefer to get their information that way.
Oh, and artist David Titterington has a lecture and exhibition tomorrow called Rock Hard Bodies, and that's at Hoschinger Hall at 1632 Eagle Road, and that's at the Black Box Theater. And David Titterington, who is a KU grad, is going to lecture on Paleolithic religion and the origins of sex, gender, and culture. David is a really great guy. And when you talk to him, you don't realize that you're getting into these super deep, weird, esoteric relationships about humanity and culture and how it all relates. And I think it's really kind of funny that you sit there and you just... trying to have a drink with him, and then all of a sudden he starts talking about gender awareness and mm-hmm. all these things, and it's quite hilarious that you're just relaxing and all of a sudden you get into this thing about paleo. I don't know anything about Paleolithic religion or anything like this. Is way over my head, but for David Titterington, it's actually his cup of tea, so he really knows what he's talking about.
You know, our listeners may be interested to know that the Poetic Underground Open Mic is held tonight at the Uptown Arts Bar, and that's just
within walking distance of our studio here. It's at 3611 Broadway Boulevard, Kansas City, Missouri. That's in, hosted by Jeanette Powers. And if you go to their website, the Arts Bar, UptownArtsBar.com, you'll be able to look at their calendar of events. They have something going on almost every night. They are closed on Sundays, but went last weekend there was a performance of writers that were reading, and they also had some live painting going on stage as well. So, yeah, that's something to check out, not just tonight, but they have other events going on.
You know, I also wanted to bring up on the, I guess it's third Friday, Friday, October 24th, lovely Peregrine Honig is having her first solo exhibition in Kansas City in 10 years at, called Unicorn, and that's going to be at Hall Contemporary, and they are at 1600 Liberty Street, and I'm very excited to see that because it has been a long time since she's exhibited as a solo artist here in Kansas City, and she does so much for the community as well.
You know, speaking of the community, I do want to let our listeners know that we lost a powerhouse in the Westside community this week.
Yes.
Linda Kellen passed away on Tuesday. She was very instrumental in pulling the community together, helping find resources for people. She was a huge arts advocate. She worked at with the Westside Can Center on the Westside, and,
she will
be missed.
She will be missed. I'm a resident of the neighborhood, and one of the things that I remember distinctly about Linda is that the neighborhood, the Westside, has gentrified enormously over the last few years, and she's been kind of the linchpin, and people, new people to the neighborhood and longtime residents, all knew to meet there at the Westside Can Center, and when people had community issues, you know, things with building or crime or whatever it is, and you wanted to speak out with your neighbors in a forum that was very simple, and you weren't allowed to go berserk. Everybody had a voice, but Linda really made sure that you minded your P's and Q's.
She touched many people's lives. I mean, not just the men that she worked with, who she helped them, you know, again, find resources, but she was very active working with the police officers in Kansas City, Missouri. One mentioned Chato Villalobos, who was just, he referred to Linda as Mama Bear. Because she just really helped people out.
And that's another instance of community building, because we really, she would bring in a couple of local police officers who lived in the neighborhood, and people just, they had questions, they had issues, they wanted to bring something up, and you don't, this is in not instances where you needed to call 911, these weren't emergency situations, but you wanted to know your local law enforcement, and she brought us all together so that when we saw these cops patrolling the neighborhood, we could stop and wave hi to them and talk to them and what's going on, and that's real community building, and very important. That's why the West Side is so cohesive with all the changes that are going on. It's still a cohesive neighborhood.
I've known Linda for a number of years, and when I first met her, it was when she was organizing some art exhibitions with Latino artists here in Kansas City. Well, back then, oh gosh, it was like early, mid-80s, I should say, when I met her. It was very, we were struggling trying to find our voice as Latino artists, and she was instrumental in helping us, you know, introducing us to the community and getting our work out there. So I'm very grateful for having known her for all the work that she's done, for having, you know, helped the community become strong and safe. Thank you, Linda.
Next week, I'm going to have artist Eric Lindquist, along with some other artists who are involved, who recently returned from Ferguson, Missouri. They're part of the month-long Action Ferguson October. I know that the meeting media has not paid as much attention to it as when things first started getting a little hectic in August. However, there is still a lot of actioning going on in Ferguson, Missouri, between the citizens of Ferguson over the shooting death of Michael Brown, and artists have long been involved in this, and they were recently out there last week, and there was a big action together, and it went very peacefully, I think, for the most part. And Eric and some other artists who will find out next week, and they're going to come and they're going to talk about it and talk about what the tenor of the situation really was out there. I think you see a lot of news stories, and they're bringing to light huge crowds, and that is possibly getting hysterical and this and that. I think, and of course, there's probably a lot more to it than that, and it would be really interesting to have people who are actually there to talk about it.
This will be an interesting take from an artist's perspective, because,
exactly,
you know, as individuals and as a community, you know, we have sort of a knee-jerk response. So this should be
exactly
an enlightening conversation. I do want to let our listeners know that we've had a change up in schedules and programs. So we will have next up on the radio station will be American Roots, and that is going to play from 7:30. That will air from 7:30 to 9:30. We haven't changed. We've got chamber music with Dr. Mike.
Good.
At 9:30 to 11:30, or maybe Mark Andrus, that I'm not sure. And we do have From Arc to Microchip at 11:30. You know, you mentioned that the upcoming guests, I have upcoming guests scheduled for the 29th.
What,
so that will be a very special show. That's going to be Jenny Mendez.
Nice.
And Teresa Magel. So, yes,
we're
going to
have
good.
A lot of fun. I'm Blair Schulman.
I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd.
And I'm Michelle Pond.
And I thank you all for listening. Honey, I'm heading home.